And as we've been studying Jeremiah, remember Jeremiah ministry last 41 years in with them. That is, all the way to 586 when the Babylonians level the city. So his ministry is a long time. And his ministry is at the time when the Israel is no more. Israel as the nation among nations is now at the bottom of the pile, and it's the times of the Gentiles, Daniel chapter 2. So Jeremiah is living in a downward ending. It's all going to end. And thus his ministry, week after week, day after day, is in the midst of very difficult conditions, more and more so. Now, having said that, you and I are in the conditions. We aren't like the 1950s or something. We're at the end where we have a very expectant, from a human standpoint, understandable of the fulfilling of prophecy. So therefore, we're looking at things, they aren't going to go uphill, they're going downhill. And we're still here, and we're going to be here until the Lord comes and for us. And we're here. So we're living in it, downhill, downhill. It's not, so you're looking for things to get a little better and somehow, in some way, but we can't count on it. And on the other hand, we know it isn't going to get any better. It's going to get more and more difficult. Now, having said that, in the light of that, a reminder of the people and the conditions, which will help us in our study of chapter 17. And chapter 5, and picking up again, if I may, in verse 31. The prophets prophesy falsely, the priests bear rule by their means. My people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? So now, do you see the little clause? The priests bear rule by their means, by at their hand. In other words, the hand in hand, hand in hand. The priests and the prophets are in cahoots. The people are in applauding where they're going, what they're saying, what they're doing. And thus they are in agreement. So therefore, their pleasures and their interest, whatever the interest is, that's where they're going with that. So the whole movement, and the people love the movement. That's what you want to hang on to. When's the end? They love the movement where it's going. Now, having said that, back over to chapter 17. And they're looking to the movement as it goes. So now, picking up if I can, in chapter 17. Remember now, Jeremiah is living amidst all of these conditions when it isn't getting any better. And therefore the darkness is developing and deepening. Not getting any better, not getting any easier. But we are creatures as they are. We are creatures that keep adjusting, understandably, and to the conditions. And when the conditions are of one kind, 20 years ago, you can't find those conditions today. And the people around us that live, they're quite comfortable with the conditions today. They aren't. They're comfortable. They aren't like they used to be at all. But as they go, we adjust and we become very comfortable. That's what you want to hang on to. Because you say, why shouldn't we get all upset? We don't. We adjust to the new comfort. Just go down. Go down, and how far can it go down? As far as captivity, as far as, think of Adolf Hitler, way back there in the 30s. Way back there. And the people looking for relief, Hitler offers relief, and the consequences, We don't see the consequences. We just see relief, excitement, not where it's headed. Now, so in the light of that, chapter 17, and we share together that the people of Israel did want to get healed. I think of chapter 17, verse 14, Jeremiah did. The people didn't want to get saved. Jeremiah, get help, deliverance. The people didn't want that. And the people didn't have any hope, no hope. Down in verse 17, Jeremiah did. They don't have any hope. And therefore, as it goes down now, one other place that will help us to stay with it, we want to get the right mood and movement. Hold your finger here a minute to chapter 14 of all kinds of places. Chapter 14, and may I pick up in verse 11. Then said the Lord unto me, pray not for this people for their good. Don't pray. And remember back in chapter 7, et cetera, et cetera, chapter 11, don't pray, don't ask anything, don't ask me to spare them. Don't negative. Don't even bring them up for good in verse 11. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, the prophets say unto them, you shall not see the sword, neither shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. So they love to have it so, chapter 5. The priests, the prophets, all agreed in their little system and what they were doing, and they were trusting that, looking for that to work. It ain't going to work, but it doesn't matter whether it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. We're going to think like we do, and everything is going to be what we like to think it is. That's what people do. You know, the enemy's there, the fire, forest fire is burning, and there it is. You can see it out the window in here's your house. And, it's never going to come. The forest fire is never going to come. And the wind changes and blows. And boy, can that move fast. And there's your house on fire. Oh, our house will never get on fire. Our house will never burn. It'll never hurt us. It does. We just don't want to look at it that way. And that's what they didn't want to do. And therefore, verse 14, then the Lord said unto me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not. Neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you in a false vision, a divination, and a thing of naught, and the deceit of their heart. So God, they aren't interested in anything except their own will and their own way, etc. So now, back over to chapter 17. So they're going downhill, and they aren't looking for any help. And as they're going, Jeremiah is given, as we shared together last time, in verse 9, he's given an assignment. And remember now, thus saith the Lord unto me, verse 19, go and stand in the gate of the children of the people, whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and all the references in the section. Okay, so you're going to go, here's the city, surrounded by the gates. What are you going to do, Jeremiah? You're going to go to gate after gate after gate after gate, and you're going to give the same message to everyone that comes in and out, buying and selling to worship, whatever they were doing. They're all eventually, you're going to meet them all, because they're all coming in and out, and around you go. Now, so having said that, and all the gates of the city. So there's his message, verse 20. Say unto them, hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, everyone, that enter in by these gates. That's how you get in the city. Verse 21. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Don't be coming in, buying and selling into the city, even in the temple. Don't be doing that on the Sabbath. Don't be doing that. And we shared together last time to remember that on the Sabbath, remember, we'll look at it in a second, there's no business to be carried out. And they were busy, busy doing business, buying and selling, etc. And that's what they were doing. So they're busy doing that, and they need to, they don't observe the Sabbath. Now, in verse 22, neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow, set apart, make holy ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded. It's intensive. I did command your fathers. I did command them. So that's the message that he's doing. Understand the Sabbath. Understand it's a holy day, a holy time, and you're to exercise it. Now, why the Sabbath? Because we shared together that every 7 years, they would do no work. Like on every 6 days, the seventh day, no work. And remember, we started with Exodus 16, manna and all of that. And the manna would be there every day. On the sixth day, it would be there, double. You would take double portion. If you went out on the seventh day, there isn't any manna. There isn't any manna. And yet God said, this is the seventh day. I don't want anything. And they did that in the wilderness. So when they got into the land and the Exodus, chapter 20, and all of that, they had to observe every 7 years. They didn't do that. And what do we know? We share together. Why 7 years? What's the word Sabbath? Rest, to cease, to separate from something, to stop, to desist, to end it. Stop. Sabbath, rest. Now, and they weren't doing that. They had to rest in the seventh day. We'll pick that up in a sec. And they had to rest in the seventh year. What for? To give the land rest. The land, planting and all of that. You want the whole territory resting for a whole year. And God would make on the sixth year, God would make enough for a whole year. Think of that. You grew a little garden, and the garden would last you a whole year more with no garden. No garden, no cow, nothing. It'll all be there. Nothing will happen. Now, keeping that in mind, if you would. So they didn't do that. Now, why are they going into captivity? Because they didn't observe. So what are they doing for 70 years? The Sabbath year has counted how many of them? 70 of them. 490 years. You haven't observed the Sabbath. A year. You're going to have the land rest for 70 years. That's why they went into captivity. They could have gone into captivity in a different time zone, different limit. No, it's for 70 years in order to what? Understand the whole problem. Why put the Sabbath here in chapter 17 when history and the kings are going along? Why put it there? Because that's the problem. And that's what God is doing in judging them. They have not observed the Sabbath. Now, hang on to that. Now, in the process, chapter 17, and they haven't done that. Now, picking up, if I can, one other place that will help you before I go too fast. Hold your finger here. Over to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 31. And God is going to give, we didn't do this last time, we did others. So there's all kinds of ways to see it and understand it. Exodus chapter 31, may I pick up please in verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, what are you going to say? Verily, my Sabbaths, rest, times to stop, cease, quiet. The land becomes, everything becomes quiet. The Sabbath, verily at my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that, what the purpose, you may know that I am the Lord, the God that sanctifies and sets you apart to be holy. I set you apart for my wonderful, wonderful will and purpose. Verse 14. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Not everyone, but to you it's holy. It's you. Why? Because it's a relationship between us. It's the relationship that gets you to me and me to you. Verse 14 again. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall be surely be put to death. That's how serious it is. For whosoever doeth any work therein, the soul shall be cut off from among the people. So you can see the heaviness and seriousness when it says in Jeremiah 17, and God commanded it, intensified. I told them not to do this because it's going to cost you death. So what do? We got to get rid of that law. We got to get rid of that practice. Why would we want to do that? Because if we keep it, we're going to all get in trouble. So we're going to sneak away and erode and get it gone and have it gone. So why no practice? Why no Sabbath? Because it isn't good for us. We get in trouble with it. Now, no work, no business. I mean, we've got to open on Sunday. That's the busiest day. I mean, we've got to do whatever. Now, chapter 31, in the process, verse 15. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh, it is the Sabbath of rest. Doeth rest in the word Sabbath and rest. Holy to the Lord, not only holy to you, but holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work on the Sabbath shall be surely put to death. Verse 16, wherefore the children of Israel keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and he was refreshed. Now remember we shared last time Genesis chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. The seventh day, God rested. He was all finished. All finished. And one other place where you're this close. Over to Exodus chapter 20 again, just to make sure you make a little note mentally. Remember the fourth commandment. And if I may, Exodus chapter 20. And the fourth commandment, I'm going to go directly for time's sake, verse 11, 20:11. For in six, it's going to give you the reason why the Sabbath day. It's a holy day to the Lord. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it and made it holy. It's a day of rest. It's a day of everything is finished. We shared Genesis chapter 2. God finished everything. All of creation was set in motion for God's wonderful, wonderful outworking. He didn't need to do anything. He just needed to let it outwork itself in it for it to fulfill its wonderful purpose in the light of God's holiness. Now, in the light of that, back over to Jeremiah 17. So it's a holy day. It's a sign. It's a sign of the relationship. It has to do with ownership. God owns everything. Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 3. It's all God's work, all God's doing, and all we are tenants on planet Earth. That's all. You don't own anything. You don't even own your clothes. You can use your clothes because they're personal. You can lose a lot, your car, because it's personal. But you don't own anything. How do you know that? Well, tell me, you know it, in Timothy and in Ecclesiastes, Job. We bring nothing into the world, and we surely what? Can take nothing out. So whatever you own, you don't own, do you? You don't own it. Nope. Nope. It isn't yours. It's God's. And God rested and made it all possible. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, chapter 17, and so now, if I go, again, to verse 23. Now that's what they're to do, to honor the Sabbath, to honor, it's a holy, they're holy, God is holy, it's a holy time, a precious time, it's a special time to remember the relationship. And picking up chapter 17, verse 23. But, having reminded them as they go in and out of the city about the Sabbath, which they don't keep, don't do it at all. Verse 23, and they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff. Now we just pick up, they didn't obey, they didn't want to obey at all. So they weren't going to listen, they weren't going to obey, they weren't going to go, and verse 23, be inclined, incline their ear. To incline their ear is to stretch it, to stretch out, to stretch, to obey, to reach out, to stretch yourself out, to get something, to have something, to stretch the ear out, to hear it. We aren't going to do that. So we aren't going to obey. We aren't going to incline or stretch our ear out. But on the contrary, we're going to go and make our neck very stiff, a stiff neck. We're going to cause, it's causative. We're going to go and do it. Now, why is your neck going to get stiff? Because you are going to make it stiff. Stiff, the word stiff, hard, violent, cruel. To make something, to make the neck very stiff, and to offer defiance, to offer oneself against something, against them, to make your neck stiff, stiff. Now, you aren't far away. Chapter 19. And in verse 15. Chapter 19, 15. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because the reason they have hardened, there's the word, hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words. They are in total defiance. And at one other place, if you want to, just to add to it, over to chapter 7, because all of these movement, it keeps repeating itself. The people don't change. Chapter 7 and in verse 26. Yet they hearken not unto me, there's your word, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Everyone picks up and adds a little bit and gets worse and worse and worse as you get down the corridor. You know, someone remembers when things used to be this. The next generation never had that to lose. They never forgot it because they never knew it. And each generation is disappearing from what they knew. So when you come down the corridor of time, you got a whole generation that has no idea, no idea what happened 40 years ago. No idea at all. Now, unless the historians, historians aren't very popular. Now, so here in chapter 17 again, picking up if I may, remember, hardened not your heart, the Lord's going to say that. Now, and so in chapter 17, verse 23, they aren't going to hear, they aren't going to receive, they aren't going to the end of verse 23, The reason they aren't going to obey, they aren't going to stretch out their ear, they're going to have a very hard neck in opposition, defiance, in order that they might not hear nor receive instruction. They don't want to know. We're gonna trust our and live with our ignorance, and we don't want to understand the problem. We don't want to understand what's going on. We think what we think. We love what the prophets and priests are doing, and we're in agreement with them, and that's what we do. Don't bother us. Don't bother us with the facts. Don't talk to us about what's going to happen. Because this is how we feel, and we can do it with great gusto. And that's what people do even today. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, verse 24. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden in and out through the gates, where you're speaking, Jeremiah, of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow, set it apart, holy, holy, the Sabbath day, a day of rest, to do no work, N-O, no work therein, no work. If, that's the condition, that's the condition. Now that's if, verse 24. Come to verse 25, what's the result of the conclusion? If, then, verse 25, then there shall enter into, if you keep do what I tell you to do, if you do it, verse 24, if you do it, then you would find a relief, you would find some benefit, and the gates of the city, kings and princes and sitting upon the throne of David. In other words, you're going to be back in business, and I'm going to give you relief and let you exist on the throne, in the throne of David. In other words, you're going to run your own country. Riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the city, and this city shall remain forever. And they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem, all of its southern two tribes, from the land of Benjamin, from the plain and from the mountains and from the south, and from with burnt offerings, bringing burnt offerings, sacrifices, meat offerings, incense, bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. So you're going to go and you're going to have the wonderful rule and government. You're going to be able to have your city, the city of Jerusalem, that if you would do it, I'll save the city and I'll save the temple and you'll be able to worship. You'll be able to worship as long as you observe the Sabbath. And you can't, if observing the Sabbath rightly means you got to pay attention to who I am. And that means you've got to do some very serious repentance and change. Now, that's true. If. Now, on the other hand, verse 27. But if, there's the little word if the condition, if you will not hearken unto me to hallow, to make holy the Sabbath day, that the Sabbath day is holy, it's holy to me, it's to be holy to you, you're sanctified, and not to bear a burden upon entering in the gate at the gates of the Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. I don't want you doing any work of any way, shape, or form to show what? That you understand the Sabbath is a holy day. And I will kindle, then, the consequence, then will I kindle, cause a fire to start in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. So now, if you don't do this, you are going to be in trouble. I'm going to kindle a fire, to set on fire. And the easiest way to see that, going back to the days of Amos and Israel and the 10 tribes in the north, go back, hold your finger here, and go over to Amos, and chapter 1, and you pick it up, Amos, Isaiah. And in Amos chapter 1, I won't give you the section, but I'll give you the beginning and end of it. Amos chapter 1 and in verse 4. But I will send a fire into the house of Hazael, which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. Now, and you're going to keep reading. Now we're going to go slide over. Verse 7, I will send a fire on the wall of Gaza, which shall devour the palaces thereof, etc. Now, we're going to keep going to chapter 2. Chapter 2. And in chapter 2, verse 5, I will send a fire upon Judah, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. So now, so God, you're going to use a fire. That's right. Now, you either can do it right, and if you want to honor the Sabbath day, and you understand, that means honoring me, God said. Understand that I am the Lord. It's a holy time to me. I did it in my creative work, my redemptive work. And I want you to know, I want you to stop and rest. And understand that everything you're going to have is because of who I am. It's not because of the rain or the good ground or the good planting or the good harvest. You're going to have what you're going to have because of me. Now, if you want me, then I'll give you all those things on the Sabbath day. Now, that means you got to go back and start paying attention to all the stuff you don't want to do. You don't want to honor the Sabbath day. You don't want to honor the, you can have your synagogues, etc. You don't want to honor the seventh year, that's for sure. You don't want to do that. Well, then that's, we aren't going to change. No, we aren't going to change. So now, so if you're not going to change, then you can expect what? Just a few days, as it were, Nebuchadnezzar will come in the third time and burn the city and level the temple. I'll set it all on fire. I told you. You didn't believe 100 years ago Isaiah and Assyria would come down and the 10 tribes in the north, they're all gone. And it's been over 100 years, 130 years. And does anyone care that it's all gone? Did anyone learn anything from it? No, we aren't paying attention to it. We don't pay attention to history. We just keep going. We love what the priests and prophets were saying. We love what they do. We love where they're going. And we like it. And they told us not to worry about anything. Now, having said that, recognizing that, so here's the evidence, the wonderful, wonderful evidence. Go with me, please, over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel and chapter 20. Ezekiel chapter 20. And you will note, please, if I can, in verse 12. I'll read verse 11 for a little context. I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgments, which if a man do, he shall even live in them. Moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctifies them. So I make it very clear to you all that what you're doing, and understand that as I do this, I'm looking to outwork my wonderful will. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, back over if you would. Well, no. Verse 19, while you're still here. I am the Lord, your God, walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them, and hallow, make holy my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you. Well, what? You may know that I am the Lord your God. So they're going to have to honor God, and they didn't do that. Understandably, they're not going to go back to Sabbath. You mean I have to keep the Sabbath? Do you understand? That's why you're going to go into captivity. No, they don't put that together. They didn't put that together at all. And by the way, when they went into captivity, the time of Israel's dominance goes and is put aside until the millennium. And the Gentiles reign and rule. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, in the light of that. So we looked at rest. You need to work 6 days for the Israelites in order to understand, because that not anyone else, This is the Israelites. Why? Because they have a relationship to God. So when they're looking to God, they're going to go, and on the seventh day, they're going to stop, and God will make everything double. God will make everything work. Everything work, because you're going to understand, you're going to practice for your own experience and your own exercise and your own education. You're going to practice resting. I want you to stop, because you're illustrating and understanding that when I created everything, I rested. I finished it. It isn't unfinished, it's finished. I want you to appreciate that and exercise that truth. Now, that's what they were to do. And every seventh year, they were to do that in a most wonderful way. And look to God, and God would take care of it. And they were to know that God is God. And that was what it was all about, a relationship to God. He's holy, be ye holy, for I am holy, of 1 Peter. Now, in the light of that, so therefore, work, we work using Israel. We work 6 days, and we stop everything so that we learn what? What we had in 6 days, which you had it last time, what you have in 6 days is because of God. He owns it. He makes it happen. And you're honoring him on the seventh day, and then honoring him, you go 6 more days doing all the basic things, and then on the seventh day, you stop and pay attention to the wonderful God's giving, caring, and then you're going to do that, especially in the seventh year, and the world and nations are going to look at and say, how can a nation not plant, not grow, not harvest? How can that be? Because God's in it. That's why. And everyone would have to look and say, wow, wouldn't you? We have to all have to keep doing what we do, but those guys don't have to do that. Now, so having said that little bit, and thus work. Work for rest, rest for work. And the rest so that as to work, we're looking. So now, so God, and you own it all and everything, it's all about a sign, all about a relationship to honor. Now, having said that, they aren't going to pay any attention to the Sabbath day. Now I'm going to move, if I can, to where we are. Over, if you would, please. Back over to, Hebrews. Back to Hebrews. Now, remember, they aren't going to do it. They haven't done it. They don't do it. They don't do it. It'd be something. I'll tell you, if they stopped and rested a whole year and didn't plant, and didn't go and harvest from the Dead Sea and all oil and everything, I bet the nations would pay attention. And you know what? The world couldn't touch them. As they honored God like that, they were invincible. But they don't believe that. Now, so Hebrews chapter 4, remember. And remember now the end of verse chapter 3, without doing all the wonderful context. End of chapter 3, I'm going to pick up in verse 15. While it is said today, if 3 and 15, that if you will hear his voice, harden, this, remember the hard-necked, stiff-necked, got hard, defiant, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, don't do that. Don't do what they did. And then slide down, grieve 40 years, verse 17. Verse 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? His rest, his rest. But to them that believe not, they don't believe. So we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief. It didn't work. It would have worked. It would have been wonderful. But they didn't do it. Therefore, now you're going to talk to us, God. That's right. We learn. We learn from Jeremiah 17. We learn from the wilderness. We learn from Genesis chapter 2. We learn Exodus chapter 20. We learn about Sabbath. It's a rest. You are the Lord of the Sabbath. It's all about what is the Sabbath for? To know you. It's to know you. Hang on to that. That's the Sabbath is for. It isn't to earn something. It isn't to have credentials that you've earned your thing and you should get promoted from corporal to sergeant or something else. It isn't that. It's to know him. Now, in the light of that, so in chapter 4, remember, going if I can, verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but, the word preached did not profit them, we already studied that, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it, they didn't believe, and they had no benefits from it. So think of it, having a wonderful God in a wonderful place, having his temple, having his city, having his word from the prophets, Moses and all of it, and no benefits. So here's the church, with all of the history behind us, the cross behind us, all of history to pay attention to, and be educated more than ever before, and who cares? Who cares? Now, and that's always true. The closer you get to an event, the less people believe. Prophetically. The closer you get, the less they believe. Now, so in the process, they're not mixed with faith. Sliding down, as we said, verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. So, God, you're talking to us Christians, believers, and you said, listen, are you guys going to learn anything from the Sabbath, from Jeremiah, from Exodus? Are you going to learn anything about the whole business of resting? I rested on the seventh day. And, verse 10, for he that has entered into his rest, over to chapter 3, verse 18, they should not enter into his rest, sliding chapter 4, verse 10, he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased, terminated, come to an end, no more, his own works, you aren't trusting your own works, as God did his. God was all finished with his works, ceased, finished, and there's no more, it's finished. It's all finished. So we aren't looking to finish our work. We aren't looking to do that. We aren't looking to finish our work. No. No, why? Because we're resting. We're resting. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive the Lord of the Sabbath. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he is the rest. He's holy. You have a relationship. What do you need to do? Nothing. Nothing. Is that right? Nothing. It's finished. It isn't something you go so far and then get it again. You done got it. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, you have the rest. It's his rest. In you. That's why you live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week in his rest. So it isn't by our works in any way, shape, or form. It's by his grace. And to tie that together quickly, over if you would, John. John chapter 6. You know it. I'm just going to tie it to my mind. It's a wonderful thing. Very rarely is it even preached on. And even rarely is it understood. And more rarely is it practiced. Find a believer that practices it as a way of life. Wow. So it isn't our work. No. Chapter 5, verse 19, quickly. Then said Jesus, 5 and 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing in himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So God, what are you doing? You're making yourself equal with God, Lord. Yeah, I am. He said, in my perfect humanity, I'm letting God, who's finished everything, I'm letting God exercise the outworking of what he's finished. He started it all in Genesis chapter 1. He got it all going. So to fulfill a wonderful purpose, Revelation at the 20, chapter 22. To bring it all together. Now, over to chapter 6 of John. Chapter 6, quickly, verse 29. Remember, they wanted to work, verse 28, what can we do that we might work the works of God? You want to be able to work and do and have and be? You can't. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Work, singular, not works. What's the work? To believe. That's it. They didn't believe. That's why they had no rest. Are you going to believe? To have rest. They didn't. And there remaineth, it's still true. Is anyone going to do it? Is anyone catch on? Understand? What's happened? What I did? What I made possible, not by works of righteousness. It isn't our working, it's your working, God. That's right, your wonderful working. So, therefore, I can do all things, think of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ that what? That strengthens me. What isn't there, God? It's all you. So it isn't about my life, it's about your life in me. Closing, First John, chapter 5. It's a wonderful subject, but not very well exercised. 1 John chapter 5. May I pick up, please, in verse 14. Remember, these things are written, verse 13, so we don't have to guess. Why do we read? Why do we pay attention to what it says? Because they are written so that we can understand. And understand that we have eternal life and that we may believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why was the Sabbath given to Israel? That they might know who he is. That's what it's given. To know his Lord. Every 7 days, pay attention to God. Wow. Now, verse 14. In the light of VBS and everything. God, here we are. So what are we going to do, God? We like to do something. And we got to sit down and, God, we're going to work out. And I think of it, what can I do to make Vacation Bible School work? And reach the world and make my balloons work that are on the mailbox. And make everything go. We're ready? We're all working it together. You ready? We're going to make it happen. Ready? If we all unite, you can think of the power we're going to have. You got it? Ready? No. It isn't our work. It's God's work. And we're learning to trust God. So I want the results. But God, I can't make them. And I'm willing to give you all the glory and all the credit for all that you do. I don't want any credit. I don't want any glory. You get all of it. Now, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We want his will. That's what I work at. That's what it's will. What did you want, Israel? What did you want? What did Jeremiah want for Israel? To know the will of God and honor the will of God. Honor God who's among them. What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to honor God. And we know that God hears us whenever we're going to ask. And we already know that we already have whatever we ask. He's going to do it. Why? Because it's his will. I didn't ask for my will. I didn't ask for how I felt or whatever. God, I want what you want. Here I am living 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God, you're going to have to do it. That's what you have to do. And we try to work it out, but it isn't our working. So it isn't we don't get frustrated with ourselves that much. We don't get frustrated with other people that much. We don't do that. We back off from that. We aren't doing that, you see. We're looking for God to do his wonderful work. Thus, verse 15, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We already have the petitions that we asked. We want God's will. If we unite in that's what we want. That isn't my work. We have hands, but the head governs the hand. God governs the hands, people. God governs his body. Wow. So we're looking to God. So God, we were praying, and we ought to pray. We're looking for you to do it, God. We can't do it. We're doing our little part, and thank God for all the help and all the caring and everything, cookies and whatever, everything. God, we do our little bit, but the working, outworking, God, that's you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God, it's you. So we're resting. That's the Sabbath is. It isn't going to, like 7-day Adventist or something, going to keep something. You aren't going to do that. Come on. And if you're going to do that, you've got to keep the whole law. If you offend in one point, Deuteronomy 27, you fail in all of it. So if you want to keep the law, you've got to keep all of it. All of it. But we keep the little parts we like. No, that's you. That's what we do. God isn't what you do. So God, here we are. We're looking to you, and God help us.